Thank you. Sheep are the dumbest animals on God's green earth. That statement's not uncommon among people who really don't know sheep, with many people that either love them or hate them. Apparently, my ancestors loved them because rumor has it they had to leave Scotland in the 1500s because they were caught stealing sheep. But I think they were just misunderstood. But I think sheep have gotten a bad rap. Our Lord says in Psalm 103, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." So in order to understand why God refers to us as sheep, I think we need to understand a little more about sheep themselves. We're going to learn a little about animal husbandry. Why do you suppose it's called husbandry and not wifery? I think that's sexist. Well, the wife does all the work anyway. Shepherds have watched over their sheep for more than 5,000 years. Sheep were mentioned for the first time in Genesis 4:2 and are mentioned more than 500 times in the Bible, more than any other animal. Please open your Bibles to Psalm 23. This is, I'm sure, one of the most recognized psalms in the Bible, and I'm sure many of you could recite it word for word. But have you ever really stopped to understand what David was telling us about our shepherd? David had a lot of experience with sheep. 1 Samuel 17, starting with verse 15, tells us that David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And when Saul told David he was only a boy and couldn't kill Goliath, David told him, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep, he went after it, struck it, got the sheep from the lion's mouth, and then when it turned on him, he seized it by its hair, struck, and killed it." David knew intimately about caring for sheep. Psalm 23 was written from the sheep's perspective. Written from the sheep's perspective. In other words, it is written from our perspective. We're God's sheep, so it's written from our perspective. Verse 1a, "The Lord is my shepherd." Webster's dictionary describes a sheep herder as a person who watches over and keeps sheep together. However, a shepherd is a person who guards, tends, cares for, and herds sheep. The sheep respond to what the shepherd does and says. Sheep don't just take care of themselves. They require endless attention and meticulous care. I don't think it's an accident that God chose to call us sheep. The behavior of sheep and human beings is so similar in many ways. Mob instincts, fears, timidity, stubbornness, stupidity, bad habits, we all have in common with sheep. We know that Jesus is our shepherd and not just a sheep herder. The Bible tells us in John 10:11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And in John 10:14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." John chapter 10 is a beautiful picture of our Lord as our shepherd. Verse 1b states, "I shall lack nothing." We must be careful not to think that "I shall lack nothing" means everything I want. Rather, it refers to what we need from God's viewpoint. Paul reminds us in Philippians 4:19, "And my God shall meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." In Matthew 6:33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you as well." Our shepherd meets our external needs: food, clothing, the necessities of life. He meets our eternal needs: a relationship with God, salvation, heaven, and everlasting life. And he meets our internal needs: love, meaning, purpose, friendship, peace, reassurance, and courage. Verse 2a says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Sheep, because of their makeup, cannot lie down unless four requirements are met. Number one, they refuse to lie down unless they are free of fear. The slightest noise can stampede a whole flock. However, nothing can quiet and reassure a flock as to see their shepherd in the field with them. They are one of the few animals who, when frightened, will immediately look toward their shepherd for help and reassurance. Our lives can be full of fear. We live in an uncertain world, not knowing what the next day or even the next moment will bring. I'm reminded of the old hymn that says, "Keep your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." We must keep our eyes on our shepherd, no matter what fear we face. Secondly, sheep won't lie down unless they are free from friction with others in their flock. With chickens, there's a pecking order. With sheep, it's called the butting order. There's a dominant ewe within each flock, and she will butt away the other ewes to get to the food first for herself and her babies. Then all the other ewes will follow the same procedure to establish their place in the flock for themselves and their babies. This fighting can go on until the flock is in disarray. However, when the shepherd comes into view, the sheep quickly forget their rivalries and stop their fighting. The shepherd's presence made all the difference. There's potential for human strife and discord when we take our eyes off our shepherd. We forget to be thankful and grateful for what we have and desire more. We all just want our own way. 2 Timothy 3:1-5 says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive," and it goes on, "have nothing to do with them." Note that it was the presence of the shepherd that brought calm to the sheep. All petty grievances were forgotten. It was no longer me against you. All the sheep became one flock. And so may it be with us. Thirdly, if the sheep are tormented by flies or parasites, they won't rest. They can be driven to absolute distraction by flies. A good shepherd watches for these pests and has insect repellents always available. The uppermost thing on his mind is the comfort and safety of his flock. We'll learn a little more about how the shepherd takes care of these flies later. Have you ever been bugged by someone or some situation? It can drive us to distraction. They just rub you the wrong way. We cry out to God, "It's not fair." Romans 12:18 says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." It is possible. We just need to look to our shepherd, talk it over with him. Tell him just how you feel, he already knows, about this person or situation. Commit it to him. Somehow, he always seems to bring things into perspective. Or maybe he'll just apply some bug repellent on them. Fourthly, sheep won't lie down as long as they're hungry. Note verse 2 says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." That means the shepherd has sought out and prepared good pastures for his sheep. He's toiled the land, picked up the rocks, fed and watered the soil in order to prepare it for his flock. Have you had your soil toiled lately? I'm not talking about your yards. I'm speaking about your hearts and your minds. Sheep are ruminators. They're cud chewers. They eat some grass, swallow it, spit it up, chew it, swallow it, spit it up. Goes on and on. I think that's a wonderful picture of how we should prepare the soil of our hearts and minds. Our food, of course, is God's word. We need to read it, chew on it, swallow it, chew on it some more, meditate on it. This way, God's word feeds us over and over. Verse 2b says, "He leads me beside quiet waters." Sheep are terrified of running water. If the sheep fall into the water, they have no swimming abilities. It's a death sentence. Think how you'd feel if you fell into fast-moving water with a heavy wool coat on. That's how the sheep does. So the shepherd searches for a quiet pool where they won't be afraid. Sheep are made aware of their need for physical water by thirst, as are we. And as a physical body yearns for water, so does our soul yearn for God's spirit. When sheep are thirsty, They become restless and may drink from a polluted stream if good water is not available. Likewise, we can become restless and drink from polluted streams. A polluted stream for us may be earthly pleasures, unhealthy lifestyles, falling into sin. Our soul needs to be fed with God's Spirit. John 7, 37 through 38 says, "If a man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." Our Lord wants us to have quiet waters in our life. However, we will have times that seem filled with despair, sadness, and fear. We need to remember that no polluted stream will help. Only drinking from God's Spirit and drawing close to him will quench the thirst and eventually give us quiet waters. Verse 3a states, "He restores my soul." There's a term for sheep that have turned over on its back and can't get up. Cast down. This can happen when the sheep lays on its side or perhaps in a slight hollow in the ground, or if they have a heavy coat of wool, or if it's a pregnant ewe. The center of gravity shifts. They lay there on their back with their little legs flailing in the air, bleeding loudly. They can't get up without the shepherd's help. The sheep are very vulnerable and helpless when they're cast down. Predators know if they see a sheep in this condition, if the shepherd doesn't come soon, the sheep will die. If the shepherd finds the sheep in time, he'll roll the sheep back onto its side, let it rest for a few minutes while he rubs its legs, gently trying to get the circulation going again. He then helps the sheep to stand up and holds her while she tries to take a few small steps. I think this is a beautiful picture of what our Lord does for us when we need his help. He helps us to stand and take a few small steps. Have you ever felt you've been cast down, just so deep into a pit filled with sorrow or sadness, even sin, that you can't get back up again and moving in your walk with the Lord? Our Lord stands watching over us, waiting for us to call out to him. Like the bleeding sheep, all we do to do is call on him. Psalm 42:4 says, "Why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." And 2 Corinthians 7:6 says the Lord comforts the downcast. So if you feel upside down, remember Psalm 23:3, "He restores my soul." Verse 3b is, "He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." People may think that sheep can just get along anywhere. However, no other animal needs more guidance and directions than sheep. Sheep are stubborn, self-willed, and willing to follow where any other sheep leads, even if it means falling to their death. The shepherd has to have a specific plan of action that includes feed, water, safe pastures, where they will be safe from predators. I'm sure we've all heard or even said ourselves, we're called God's sheep because we're stupid like sheep. I suppose that's probably true to a certain point. We're stubborn, strong-willed, proud. We want to be our own boss and have our own way. Need I say more? Isaiah 53:6 says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray, and each turned to its own way." In Psalm 14:12 and 16:25, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death." These verses speak to our poor choices in life. We choose the wrong paths, wanting to go our own way and do our own thing. Look again at verse 3b. "He guides me in the paths of righteousness." We don't have to find our own way or look for our own water holes or pastures. God has provided them for us already. We just have to give over our will and trust him. Let him lead us. John 10:27 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Let me tell you some good things about sheep. They're really quite smart. They have good memories. They can remember humans for years. They recognize their shepherd's voice. Sheep have been known to show emotions and they're capable of problem solving. Sheep are curious animals. I can attest to that. Several years ago, Clyde and I went to Scotland. He humored me by letting us stop at every castle and castle ruin. So one morning we're driving about and we stop at this castle, and I have a call of nature, so I'm going up on the hill and I find a tree. My biggest concern was that I not pee on my shoes or my pants. Yeah. So I just about finished when I felt eyes on me. So I've never had much strength in my legs. And so I'm down here squatting, I'm trying to pull myself up with this arm on the tree, the other yanking up my pants. So I turn around and look, and there are 10 to 15 sheep standing beside me, behind me. I can only imagine what was going on in their little brains. So I guess that saying, don't get caught with your pants down, applies here. Verse 4a says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The shepherd is always moving his flock back and forth between the high mountain and lowland pastures, taking care to move them along the best and safest paths, which is most often through the valleys. This is not only the gentlest route, but it's well watered and where the richest food is. The shepherd knows there can be predators lurking on the high cliffs, or there can be sudden rains that cause rock slides or floods. Even with all these hazards, the shepherd still chooses this path to move his sheep. He knows the flock must travel through the valley to get to the high pasture. Our shepherd knows what lies ahead of us when we move through the valleys of our lives, and there will be valleys for all of us. Just like the earthly shepherd, he gently leads and directs us. This verse, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, often is believed to mean our earthly death, and it does bring much comfort to people. However, if you look at the sheep and their shepherd, it means our daily walk through this life. It's our journey through the valleys to the high pastures. We will have predators and hazards on the way. However, we don't need to fear because our shepherd walks with us. Nothing is more encouraging to me than to look back at those times he led me through the valleys of my life. I've learned that I can trust him at all times. John 16:33 says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Verse 4b is your rod and your staff that comfort me. The shepherd in David's time carried few things with them as they took care of their sheep. In Psalm 23, David says that the sheep were comforted by the shepherd's rod and staff. In other words, the shepherd carried these items to guard and guide the sheep, not discipline them. The rod was to drive off predators, those who wanted to harm the sheep, and the hook on the staff to catch the sheep and draw them back to the shepherd when they'd wandered too far away. In W. Philip Keller's book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, he states the rod is God's word and the staff symbolic of the Holy Spirit. God's word, the rod, gives us clear instruction about the evil in the world, our enemies, those who would lead us astray. It also gives us great peace with the ability to see clearly. However, the rod, God's word, can also be used by the shepherd to startle a sheep and stop it from wandering away on its own or eating poisonous weeds. The shepherd throws a rod not to hit the sheep, but close by as to startle it and stop its wayward ways. I use the same technique with my dogs, except it's a plastic water bottle filled with little rocks. And when I shake it, they all stop and look back at me to see who's in trouble. And if they don't stop what they're doing, I may throw it at them. And our old deaf dog, I may just bump him in the butt with it. I suppose we all may get a little deaf at times and need a bump in the butt. Just saying. So the rod is God's word, and it gives clear instruction about the evil in the world, what we are to avoid, but also when we wander too far afield, it can discipline us with correcting words from God. As a rod represents the word of God and his power and warning against danger, the staff represents the spirit of God, his loving, gentle, caring spirit. The earthly shepherd will guide his sheep with a staff. He lays it along its side, pushing a little to show him which way to go. And if a sheep or lamb wander too far, the shepherd will use the hook on the staff to draw it back to him. I love this description. The great shepherd always looking out for the lost lamb with the hook on the staff, always to bring us back to him. In John 16:13, Jesus told us himself that it would be his spirit that would be sent to lead and guide us. Nothing can give, should give the Christian more peace than to have the Holy Spirit speaking quietly to our spirit. Come back to me, you're wandering too far away. I just have to interject here one thing the shepherds have to help them with: the sheepdog. I know it's not in Psalm 23, but if you know me, I love dogs. And I love watching the dogs herding sheep. It's almost a poetry about it. In Job 31, it makes mention of sheepdogs, so we know they were used in Bible times. As I said, David didn't mention them in Psalm 23. However, just from my point of view, I have to say that one who represents the sheepdog in helping the great shepherd would be our earthly pastors. Now, I'm not calling pastor a dog, but just look at the sheepdog's characteristics and how they help the shepherds herd their sheep. The sheepdog is always looking to the shepherd for guidance and direction as our pastor looks to the great shepherd. The sheepdog is loyal and will defend the flock at all costs. He knows it's his job, his calling. Our pastors also know they have a job. They know what their calling is. It's to do the great shepherd's will. The sheepdogs are to protect the flock, run off predators, guide the sheep where the shepherd wants them to go. Our earthly pastors also protect and guide us. The sheepdog will only listen to the voice of the shepherd, and so he directs him. So our earthly pastor listens only to the great shepherd's voice and does what he says. If you've ever had the privilege to observe the relationship between the earthly shepherd and his sheepdog, you'll see the dog lays at the shepherd's feet or sits at his side, constantly watching the flock. So also our earthly pastors. They sit at the feet of the great shepherd, learning from him as they both watch over us. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. The word table here can refer to a high mountain plateau or a mesa. David was familiar with these high tables where he took his father's sheep in the summer to graze. Now, before he even took his sheep there, he would make several trips to make sure the table was prepared. He'd pick out the best places to bed the sheep down as he moved them back and forth across the pasture. He'd make sure there were no poisonous weeds among the grazing pastures, and he'd watch for predators who wait for a sheep to fall and be cast down. The shepherd must always be on alert. So is our Savior, always on alert. He knows every trick of our enemy, Satan. We are always in danger of attack. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Sheep, as I said, are timid animals. They may freeze and become unable to move in the face of danger. This can also be true of we Christians. We're unable to move or cry out under our adversary's attack. However, our shepherd doesn't want that to happen to us. We must stay close by him, read, pray, seek the company of other Christians. He wants to protect us, and he will protect us, even in the presence of our enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. When I was learning this psalm as a little girl, I learned it this way. You anoint my head with oil, my coffee cup overflows. Made more sense to me that the cup would overflow with coffee than with oil. As I mentioned earlier, one of the four reasons a sheep can't rest is that they're being tormented by pests. Summer is fly time for the sheep. The worst of these flies are the nose or nasal fly. They buzz around the head of the sheep trying to get in and lay eggs in the mucus of their nose. I'm not going to tell you all the bad stuff it does. It's bad. Just let it be said, the sheep are driven wild, trying to avoid the fly. They become frantic with fear and panic. They stomp their feet, run about from place to place, some of them even dropping from exhaustion, trying to get away from these flies. At the first sign of the fly arrival, the shepherd must apply an antidote, an oil, to the sheep's head, which he rubs over the sheep's nose and head. And once the oil has been applied, it makes an immediate transformation in the sheep. The sheep can go back to their normal activity, free of the aggravation, and then they can rest and go back to their life. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Our good shepherd tends us by anointing us with the oil of his Spirit. And with the oil of the Spirit come the anointing of joy, peace, healing, strength, and power. It's Galatians 5, 22 through 23. John 14, 16 and 7 tells us, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, but you know him, for he lives in you and will be with you. He is our comforter, our counselor, and the one always by our side." When we truly come to realize that the Great Shepherd is in control and that he cares for us, that he takes care of us, we can rest and know that we lack nothing. We can lie down in green pastures and rest. We can drink from quiet waters. Our souls are restored. We're guided in the paths of righteousness. We can pass through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. We know that his rod and staff comforts us. The table is prepared before us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our heads with healing oil. This is when we realize what is meant by our cup overflows. Verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life." Any sheep having a shepherd like the one portrayed in Psalm 23 can well say that goodness and love follow him all the days of his life. Every aspect of his care and well-being are being taken care of. He lacks nothing. Even his mental well-being is cared for. He has the companionship of a loving shepherd with the sheepdog by his side. The sheep only has to trust his shepherd and follow him. It's just so simple for us. Just trust and follow our shepherd. Just trust and follow our shepherd. Lastly, "I will dwell on the house of the Lord forever." Here is a sheep so content, he'll never look over the fence for greener grass. He knows this is his home, and he wants to stay forever. If we look at this last line of Psalm 23, "I will dwell on the house of the Lord forever," from the sheep's perspective, remember it's from the sheep's it's written, the sheep is referring to the flock he belongs to. He's well content and never wants to leave. As Christians, we are to be content where we are. We belong to the great shepherd, and we're the sheep of his pasture. We belong to his fold. It's such a privilege. John 10:14 states, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." And John 10:9, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture." Our shepherd is Jesus. We know that we are cared for. He comes alongside to lift us and stand beside us. Thank you.